The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Up in the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go.
Fly a kite.
Whoa. Fuck your mom.
Whoa. Yeah, what song is that?
I don't know. It was one
Mary Poppins.
Like, when I was a kid.
Really?
Isn't that a Mary Poppins?
Mary, Mary Poppins.
It's from Mary Poppins, dude.
Bro, you didn't know Pink Floyd, but you knew Mary Poppins?
Come on, bro. I already called
myself.
He's
got a, you know, a very selective.
That's just,
you know,
weird. That's like weird knowledge.
I already called myself out on the douchebaggery of the
That's not douchebaggery. It's just funny.
No, it's good. It's,
yeah.
No.
It means you're diverse.
You now watch. He's going to make me feel bad now. Watch. Go ahead. Well, I used to watch Mary Poppins with my dad before. Yeah. I feel horrible. You know what? It's just on. Let me tell you something.
And then my dog died.
I'm okay feeling like an asshole right now. I already feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
From what happened earlier. Did I tell you? I didn't tell you guys what happened earlier.
No, what happened?
Has this ever happened to you where you do something and you're aware that what you're doing is asshole-ish, but then someone points it out to you and you get mad, but you don't say anything because you're like, you're right. Did that ever happen to you?
Ooh, yeah. You just got to eat it.
Yeah. So like,
that's
so like
the worst.
Every day when I drive to my, you know, my personal training job in the morning, I have to take the back roads because traffic sucks massive donkey dick in the Bay Area, so I can't take the freeway.
I have a story about that, but
about donkey
going.
Dick.
Yeah.
Okay, so fuck, I almost want to hear that first.
Random.
So I'm driving and I'm in the back roads,
we'll
and
get to that.
And there's a point where I have to turn left, and a lot of people are turning left. So you know how it is. The light's red. The line to turn left is long as shit, right? But the other lanes next to it are open because those are people that are just going straight.
Yeah.
So asshole Sal never waits in line. Ever. I drive, and then when I get to the end, the turning lane usually opens up and I just kinda slide in. You know what I mean? I just kinda merge in.
That's not an asshole. That's called good Bay Area driving.
Yeah. And I just merge in. Like it's like I lube it up and I go right in. And so I did that today.
Start with the little tip.
I did that today and it was it was this lady in a minivan, which, according to my studies, women in minivans are the worst, bitchiest drivers of all time. They're just mean.
But do we blame them?
No. I guess not. No. But they're just mean. Like, yeah. I get flipped.
I get it, dude. I mean,
if I get flipped off 10 times, 9 out of 10 times, it's a mom in a minivan.
Really?
Every time. I swear to God.
That's hilarious.
So she just doesn't want to let me in. So what do? I merge anyway. And come in real slow. So she has to let me in. She's honking and flipping me off. So then she rolls up next to me. She pulls her window down. And she's like, why don't you wait in line like everyone else, asshole? And I looked at her and I'm like, I didn't say shit because I'm like, she's right. I'm an asshole. So I just waved.
Through
a Mind Pump business card.
Not how I roll.
Listen to my show. I'm going to talk about you today when I record.
Like, hey, comb your hair. Huh?
You
we'll
wish
do wonders for you. That's what I would have said.
You're not a MILF. Here's a car.
Hey, those kids are really, really sucking
well,
the soul out of
you. Well, to her credit, she's still, I mean, you know, she's still trying to lose the 30 pounds from, you know, she just had a kid 10 years ago, so she's having trouble.
Yeah. Ooh. Takes a while.
See, I told you I was feeling like an asshole.
Yeah. You're on one.
Jerksicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, speaking of being a jerk, and this isn't related to, you know, taking it, but at the same time,
what?
I was like, Pete's coffee, and I'm like waiting for my order and everything.
Which, by the way, Pete's has better coffee than Starbucks.
Absolutely, 100%. But Phil's is the best. So
Phil's.
I just gotta put
that. Yeah, Phil's
is the money. I'm waiting for my coffee. I'm over where the little kiosk is where you put your lid on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just on my phone, and there's this guy sitting on this table, and he gets up, and he's just kind of looking past me somewhat. and he literally walks like right into me, and he just keeps walking and kind of bumping into me. And then I'm just like, I'm looking on my phone, and I'm looking up. I'm like, dude, what is this guy doing? I was like, ah.
It was like a slow bump, like he kept doing it?
He just kept bumping into me. And
that's weird.
And he was looking past me.
Is he blind?
So basically.
He was blind, wasn't he?
Let me get to my story, you asshole. And so I'm like, oh my God, like, this guy is a dick. You know, and I get up and I'm just like,
fucking Justin pushes him over.
I know, I didn't do anything. Thank God I didn't do anything. I walk over. I'm like, I'm just going to walk over here, you know, to wait for my drink order. And then I just kind of looking at him, kind of mean mugging. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like, he must be like mentally, you know, I don't know, disturbed or something, you know. And I get my drink. And then I go to the bathroom. I come back out. And I look over at that table. And he's got one of those walking sticks for blind.
Dick. So I felt what a dick.
Total asshole.
Justin beats up a blind retarded guy.
I did not. I totally was just like, I kind of, sometimes you have a sense like, you know, that, you know, somebody might not be all there, but in this case, he was there. He was just blind, and he probably thought I was the table or something.
Just like, what the fuck's your problem?
He just kept bumping, blind dude's like, pushing
I'm
me
fucking blind, bro. That's my problem.
Yeah, listen, I sorry. Can't see. Okay?
I can't see shit.
Yeah. So.
I can't see shit, Captain.
Yeah, I felt like an asshole.
Yeah. Justin, Adam, did you do anything asshole today?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
No, you know, I haven't been an asshole lately. I don't think.
What the fuck? Hold on a second.
No, no. Well,
hold on
no,
a second.
No, no.
Something's not right.
Impossible.
Something's not right here. Are you feeling okay?
Okay. Wait,
there's been a disturbance.
Okay, I have a story.
I knew it. See, there we go.
I did.
That was fast.
I did.
It did not take long at all.
I did pull a stunt yesterday. So yesterday at Orange Theory, once a month, all the trainers get together, and we go over the workouts coming like for November that's coming up, right? And the head trainer Daniel is not there, right? So Daniel, if you're listening to this, bro, I love you, bro. I was just playing with you, but this is kind of an asshole move, I feel like, because so he's not at the present at the meeting. So there's like six of us trainers or seven, however many there are of us. We're sitting in the room and we're going over stuff, and he's on the speakerphone. So someone's got their phone out, and so he could listen and, you know, he put his 2 cents in for the meeting and stuff, and, you know, basically he's running the meeting from phone. And then when he gets almost done, he says, hey, do you guys have any other questions? And I decided to be a dick, a smart ass, you know. So I grabbed the phone and I said, yeah, you know, I have one question, Daniel. I said, when we have a 3G workout and I have 33 people in my class and two of those people want to use the bike and one person wants to use elliptical and there's nobody on treadmill number 7, who should I pair rower number 5 with? And like all the trainers in the room like start dying laughing, right? And he's like, oh, actually, Adam, this is what I would do. And he starts to go
answer it for real.
Oh, he starts to answer it for real. And everybody is just laughing. And he's got to stop and gather something. He doesn't realize, because he's on phone, he doesn't know that everyone's laughing at him.
Listening
and, yeah, right. Yeah. So he stops and then he gathers himself. So I let him get about halfway through. I go, whoa, hold on. You totally lost me. Could you start over again? And then he starts all over again. He starts telling it all. Everybody was
that
dying.
That is a dick move.
Yeah, it was kind of a dick move. Yeah. And he doesn't know. He probably is finding out right now as he's listening to Mind Pump.
Oh, yeah. It's always
I love you, D.
Move.
I love you, D.
Yeah, you make, you know, make fun of people at these.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. Yeah. It's good times. Make them feel bad.
It's
know?
Good times.
Yeah. Good job.
Yep. Well,
that was my last dick move. I haven't done anything else that like that. But, you know, what is
there needs to be more dicks in the world.
No,
yeah,
I disagree with that one.
Well,
no.
Let me explain.
No, we need more vaginas in the
you
world.
You gotta explain that. Yeah, you gotta explain that.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, from our perspective.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. No, let me explain.
I mean, you're contradicting something you said in earlier Mind Pumps. We have a flood of dick. Dick is everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's flooded the market.
It's flooded the market.
Yeah.
No, no. Let me explain what I mean. I just read a statistic the other day that college students, the majority of college students, pussies, they... and if you're listening and you're in college, if you're listening to Mind Pump, you're not a pussy. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people not listening right now.
I'm talking to people not listening right now. That makes a lot of sense.
It works it out perfectly.
Yes.
So the majority of college students prefer language to be controlled on campus. In other words, they like they want to have trigger warnings for words that might be offensive or books that might be offensive. Like, you know.
Trigger words. What's that mean?
You know, like if you're reading an old book and they talk about slavery, or you read an old book and the wife is in its, you know, stereotypical role at home, or someone says a derogatory term in an old poem.
Well, we should just rewrite all of history.
Well, that's it's just, and they don't want free speech. They're just like, no, everybody can't have their feelings hurt. Yeah. This is the majority of fucking students want this.
Did you hear that, dude?
It was a statistic I just saw on the news the other day.
Well, remember, we talked.
It's so far.
Didn't we talk about this on Mind Pump too? How a couple of the big name comedians won't even go to college campuses.
Yeah, Seinfeld and a couple like Chris Rock. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Some of your biggest comedians.
We are witnessing the pussification of America.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Everybody gets so offended about everything.
God damn it. I can't stand it. Yeah. Stop being such a... I don't know what to call you. I don't want to offend you. You know what I mean? Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. They can't handle it.
No.
Like, I'll tell you what just... Listen to what just happened the other day. This is kind of along those lines. I sent this article to you guys today. Justin read it.
Yes.
So there's this... I gotta find. I should find it, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you? Can you open it up, Justin, so I can quote the right college?
I'll look.
So there's an all girls college that this girl applied to, and but what they don't know is she's transgender. So let me explain. She was born a girl, but now she's transgender to a man. So she's a man, but she's applying to an all girls school.
Isn't that backwards?
That's not the problem. That's not even the issue. So she or he applies to the school and they accept him and everything's fine. Everything's cool. Nobody bothers, whatever. He runs for office, like, you know, school president or whatever. And there were three other candidates and those people dropped out. So it looked like he would be the winner. There was a protest that he can't win because it's not displaying enough diversity because he's a white male. I'm not making that up.
It's not displaying enough diversity because he's
a white
male.
It's so illogical. He's a white male.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's a white male. So they're like, we don't want, you know, we're against, you know, stereotypes and racism and all these different things. You can't win because you're a transgender white male.
Wait.
Because
Wesley College, is that right?
Is that what it says?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wesley College.
What the fuck is going on? It's imploding on itself.
The
craziness is imploding on itself.
I love that. It's like it's so far, the pendulum has swung so far in that direction that like they're creating all these new like contradictory things. It's interesting.
Everybody's offended about everything all the time. I'm so angry about it.
Well, right.
I just want to run around yelling derogatory terms at everybody
to see what happens. It's like a circus, dude. I mean, let's be honest.
It's like, come on, man. Yeah, I get it. Some people are going to be asked, but you don't have to, like, I don't know. It's just weird, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the initial efforts, right, to kind of call assholes out for doing asshole things, that's great.
Sure.
But, you know, taking that a step further with this protection, like this bubbling of... every little step of the process of not hurting this group of people, not, you know, offending this person. And, you know, like it just prevents daily activity. I mean, I don't even know how people can calculate like everything they have to say without, cause like you're going to offend somebody.
Dude, there's a t-shirt company that has a shirt that says, fat free on it. It's like a beef company or something. And it says fat and people are buying these t-shirts. They're getting sued. Because it makes people who don't like to eat that way feel uncomfortable.
Shut the fuck.
I am not. I am telling the truth.
Dude, only in California, bro.
No, I don't know where it is.
It's got to be California. California, we can sue for anything, dude.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah, anything you could possibly think of, you can be sued for. Yeah. Somebody can figure a way out like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sue that motherfucker for that, actually. that's how California is. It really is like that. It's ridiculous. You know, I'll tell you something else that's ridiculous. That's driving me nuts right now. So... you guys know that I came on board of OTF when it first started over here in the Bay Area. I know the owner very well. And
Brendan Abidjan.
Yeah. So I know B. Weezy pretty well. Super badass dude. Great guy. And, you know, part of the deal was I most certainly would find a way that I could help him out. Like, I didn't know how much time I could commit to the facility and stuff like that just because we got so much other stuff going on. But really liked the concept, like where they're going for group training and stuff like that. And I thought it was really cool. So long story short, you know, I ended up having to, you know, step down to just a trainer who came in there a few hours a week because I don't have the time to put into like running the facility. But the play, he just got number one club in the entire company the week before last. Huge for him, stuff like that. In the entire country, there's like 300 something clubs, and he's a newer facility. So for that to happen, it's pretty impressive and cool. Well, and this is where I'm getting at with you guys, that see if you guys remember this or experiencing this is what's happening. And I fucking hate this about corporate America, man. You get a company that is so awesome, right? And when it starts off, you know, in order to make it a great company, it has to have a strong core, right? There's probably 20, 30, 50, who knows how many people that started this business. And they're probably pretty damn badass in order for it to grow to what it is. And then what happens is, you know, a good business model like that ends up growing so fast that within a year, 2 years, you know, a majority is no longer badass. You now start to get the 80-20 rule where, you know, 80% are average to below average people. 20% are those elite type people, like the people that probably started the thing. And then as a company, what companies tend to do, and this is the part that irritates me, is they look at the 80%. They look at the 80% of the people and they go, okay, what do we need to do as a company to figure out our problems? Oh, okay, we're getting issues with, you know, trainers not doing this and trainers doing that.
So now you guys got to pay for it.
Exactly. So then you start to see these things roll. Now, this hasn't quite happened yet, but it's coming already. And I already see the writing on the wall. And
corporate America doesn't like rule benders.
And not even just the rule bending part, it's that because I don't like this way of running a business where you put your energy into the people that were, and we watched this with 24 Hour Fitness that drove me crazy, was instead of focusing on everybody's strengths and making them all better at what they already do,
right,
you start to focus on all the problems that you have, which are the 80%, and you're like, okay, we're going to take these average people and we're going to do our best to make them a little bit better than what they already are, because that's going to, as a company, overall affect the line. But then what you end up doing is you take away from those, you know, those leaders, the people that think outside the box, the ones that are creating, the ones that are doing unique stuff.
You handcuff them.
That originally built the fucking company. You know what I'm saying? Now those people become, you know, either one, outcasted, or two, get conformed, or three, they end up saying, fuck this, I'm out of here, and they leave, and you lose those type of people.
Well, this is what happens when they're building a big brand. One of the things that in the past has worked really well, but I can foresee in the future it not working so well. And what it is, it's uniformity. It's everybody has to look the same. Everything has to sound the same. Everything has to be the same.
Yep.
And so big, or, you know, the old original big corporations like, you know, McDonald's and all these companies.
Yeah, I was going to say McDonald's was the standard as far as all that uniformity goes. Because, I mean, every business on the planet wants to model what they did and did well, because it was so the systematized.
Right, because you go in, you get a burger in Germany, or you get a burger in, you know, Santa Cruz.
Very uniform.
It's the same burger, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine when you're dealing with a product, okay? When you're dealing with the product, that makes sense. Like, if I buy an iPhone, it should be an iPhone regardless of where I get it. If I buy a burger from the same burger joint, it's a chain, it should taste the same no matter where I get it. However, in people businesses, that shouldn't be the same. Every facility should have its own flavor.
Right.
And the successful ones tend to be successful because they have a flavor that tends to work for that community. That doesn't mean you could pick up that flavor and put it in another country and it could work. It might not. But for whatever reason, it's working where it's at. Don't fuck with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't change it. Because back in the day at 24, way back in the day before, you know, they started doing that to everybody, every club, all the successful clubs, had their own flavor.
Oh, absolutely.
They didn't do things exactly the same, yet they were all successful.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean you should make them all uniform and handcuff.
Well, they adjusted to their environment too. I mean, you get all kinds of different types of people coming in, and like, you know, they might respond to a different message, right? So the sales, the process, everything might, you know, be geared a little bit more to entice that person and make that person more likely to stay and enjoy themselves. So
totally,
it's different.
Totally. When I ran Salinas, for example, we sold very, very little of the big, you know, Cadillac membership. At the time, it was called KeyFit Plus. We sold very little of them because that area, people didn't have the money to spend, you know, $1,000 in a gym. But we did sell a lot of the bottom line membership with some additional personal training attached to it. And we were very successful doing that. That model wouldn't work in a San Mateo or a Sunnyvale, right? It's different. And so there's just a different flavor, and you shouldn't handcuff it. And I'll tell you where that's that same uniformity mentality is trying to be applied, and it's coming up with disastrous results, and it's in education.
Yeah.
Education is a big one, where they're coming out with all these standards, and every kid and everywhere in the country needs to be taught the same way, follow the same tests, and pass the same test, which is ridiculous because every kid is different. Yeah. And you're handcuffing the teacher who's working. That's another people business,
right,
where the teacher can't use their own skill to you know, work around the child and the student.
I just remember this this meme that pretty much depicted all that. The meme, it had a tree and it had all these different animals.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then the guy said, "Okay, now the test is to climb the tree, right?" And so you have like an elephant and you have like a jaguar and all this kind of. But it embodies that, where that diversity of the way that, you know, every kid is different and they learn in a different fashion, and they need to have exposure to different methods. And
right.
There's no one uniformity that's going to be successful all the way across the board.
Right. Having some of that allowing the leaders of your facility, allowing them to lead is one of the smartest things I think you could do with a big business. Of course, there's going to be some uniformity in terms of, you know, how people get paid and how people get checked in and maybe how the facility looks and the equipment and stuff like that. But people show up to a gym maybe initially because of the name, but they stay because of the people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's extremely important in a people business, like you said, but I find this true in business in general. When you're leading a staff of people, no matter what industry you're in, if you have a staff of people that are working underneath you, this was something that it took me years into my career before I kind of figured this out. I mean, I was, all of us were very successful since day one of coming into the fitness industry. But, you know, the evolution of that was, you know, when I first started, a lot of my success, I relied on myself. I relied on, you know, I'll just fucking make it happen. You know, I'll work so hard, I'll figure it out myself. And all I need is one or two people to get on board with me, and then we're going to be just fine. Or later in my career, I found, you know, better ways to manage and lead people versus, you know, doing it myself. And the work was a lot easier and I was a lot more successful. And one of the first things that I learned to do was, you know, stop looking at my staff as, you know, trying to get them to all be like the image of what someone would think would be a perfect trainer or, you know, trying to emulate, get them to emulate what I did or whatever. It's like, instead I would find what I liked about every one of them that I already liked, but they naturally already had. And then I would try and enhance that. I would try and bring more of that out, focus on what they were good at already, and then try to get them to accelerate and be great at that. And then just find different pieces. Cause that's just what's neat is when you put together a team of people, like I said, in any industry that you're doing, you know, to try and conform everybody to be the same, you just kill the spirits of people like that. I mean, and if you want them,
you end up with a bunch of B, C, and B players.
Yes, exactly. You,
the A players are out because A players,
it's not for them.
No, they need to feel autonomy. They need to feel a little bit of freedom. And if you lock them down, they're gone. And who stays are the robots, the drones.
Yeah.
And you end up with the B. With a B-type company.
Well, I already see where this podcast has started out. Like, we're talking about assholes, right? And now we're talking about leadership. And so there's a direct correlation there. And then also the pussification of America, right? So let's bring all that together. Let's talk about CEOs. What makes a great CEO? I mean, there's a lot of them that if you keep intensifying the pressure and the demand and the people underneath – and you're trying to consider thousands of employees, not just a couple, you know, and the buck drops on you. Are you really going to be liked by everybody? I mean, is that going to happen? Are you going to appease everybody?
You know,
or are you going to make decisions that are assertive, that are for the greater good, but, you know, you are clear in the distinction that you're making that decision.
No, the only people that the employees have to like, I say like very carefully, because when I say like, I mean respect. Like and respect. Okay, because true respect is someone respects you, but they also like you. respect when someone doesn't like you doesn't really exist, because you can't respect someone that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I mean by that. But the people that they really have to truly respect in that sense are the people they work directly under, the people they know. This faceless CEO that they've never met,
yeah.
They could think he's an asshole all day long, or it doesn't matter. They never met the guy. They don't know him.
Right.
Maybe they met him once at a big meeting. But it's really that person.
The direct rapport.
That's the person you need to really focus on,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And give them some autonomy and allow them to have that freedom to kind of be themselves. And, you know, you were talking about your trainers, Adam. You know, I was the same way with my staff, always. You know, I always followed this inverted business model, because the old business model was the customer's always right. Customer's number one. Everything else falls under that. We've all been told that a million times. That's wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the wrong business model. The employee and the staff is the most important.
Right.
The customer comes after. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if your staff is treated that way, if you treat them in the sense where they're the most important and you're letting them, you know, be their most creative and be their best, whatever that means for them, the customer is going to have a fantastic experience.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If you treat your employees like shit, but the customer's God, you're going to have a shitty situation. It's not
going to feel undervalued, and you know, like they can't make their own sort of decisions and involve themselves, project themselves into the business.
Exactly. Yeah, but the whole CEO thing just makes me laugh. You know.
Well, I was just going to comment on Justin's CEO thing, because I mean, let's be honest, most of these guys, they don't give a fuck about the people below them. I mean, they get you. Most CEOs, you take on a company that you see opportunity for you either to cut costs on the bottom line, or you can see something that you can implement so you can turn around, make that thing profitable, flip it, get out, make your money, sell your share, whatever it is.
The job of the CEO is to look at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
figure out how to make it work better, and to earn the respect of the people directly under him. But really, that's about it. That's how they're going to lead. Now, in very, very rare situations, you have these CEOs that inspire, the kind of leadership that you see every great once in a while. The problem with that then is the company then becomes so dependent on that, that when the CEO leaves, that company never does, it doesn't ever really come up to where it was before. You know, Apple is a good example. Yeah. Apple is a very successful company, shit tons of money, but Steve Jobs was that kind of CEO where,
X Factor,
like a god, right?
He created the cult behind it.
Right. So when he's gone, it's different, right? Elon Musk is another one of those, you know, type of CEOs.
Yeah.
So are they good guys, nice guys? I don't know. I don't know them. I'm sure a lot of people thought they were assholes. I've read books, you know, that said that people thought that. But, you know, when it comes to CEO, that's kind of, you know, that's their, and it's a hard fucking job.
Oh yeah.
They just, by the way, CEOs deserve every penny they earn.
Right.
For those of you who are like, CEOs only make so much money, and then they make way more than their employees. Yeah, because they
don't get any sleep.
Well, no, besides that, like, if you could fucking do the job, then go do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like if I went outside and interviewed 100 people and asked them, hey, do you think Michael Jordan is worth all the money he earned? Everyone will be like, oh yeah, absolutely. Michael Jordan, definitely. What about Beyonce? Oh yeah, absolutely. CEO of Walmart. No. He gets paid too much. Like, where the fuck is your brain? Yeah. You know, isn't that funny?
It's
hilarious to me. One, you know, he employs shitloads of people just like they did, or maybe more. And yet, you know, it just blows me up. So they earn every cent. But yeah, it really comes down to, you know, like you were saying, Adam, is allowing people to be themselves.
Oh, yeah.
within that structure, not to make a bunch of robots.
No, it sounds like such simple advice, but I feel like, and everybody, when I say it to someone, they nod their head and they agree, and then they go right back to fucking doing other things. So it's just like, man, you people don't truly grasp it. That's why I think we talked about this not too long ago. One of my favorite reads that right on this topic, and it's literally a day read. You can pick it up and read it in a day. Is 1 Minute Manager,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a CEO of a Fortune 500 company and why they're so successful. And they go around interviewing all the employees, and they all are kind of saying the same stuff about this CEO that no one really ever sees, rarely ever. But when they do see him, these are the things he does, you know, and they're the simple things of telling them what a great job they're doing and patting them on the back type of deal, and always positive and always this and always that. And
you know, we should go into some of those rules, because I forget about them sometimes. I haven't had a big staff in a long time. I mean, when I owned my gym, I had a small, but they weren't really my staff. They all paid rent, so they kind of ran their own business, which I actually enjoyed. But, you know, there's a couple rules. Like, here's a very basic rule. This is a very basic rule that I cannot believe that managers do not know or understand. And if you're a manager and you're listening, this will make you so much more effective. Okay. If you're going to reprimand an employee, always do it in private.
Yes.
If you're going to talk well about them, if you're going to talk well about an employee, if you're going to boast about an employee, if you're going to encourage an employee and talk about how great they're doing, do it in public.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reprimand in private. And you promote in public. When they're among their peers, when you've got everybody around and they're all sitting around and Justin's over here and there's all these other trainers and Justin just did a kick-ass job, I'm not going to wait till I'm behind closed doors to tell Justin to do it. I'm going to do it in front of all his peers. Mm-hmm. You just kicked ass. You crushed everybody. You did a great job, Justin. Great. Now if Justin fucks up, I'm not going to do that in front of his peers. I'm going to say, hey, let's go get some lunch. Or here, come to my office real quick. I'm going to show you something. Then we're going to talk about it, me and him. That little tip right there will make you so much more of an effective manager. Most managers do the opposite.
Keep retention and everything.
Yeah. Oh, they do the opposite. They'll take the person inside the office to tell them they did a good job, and then they'll talk shit to them in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll tell you something.
It's so backwards.
It's terrible.
It would blow your mind if people actually just... So I read this one book, right? And they did this study on... they went and asked these employees also from another, all these successful companies. And they went and asked the CEOs, you know, if we were on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you take care of your employees, you tell them how good they are, you hype them up type of deal. You know, would you consider yourself, you do that as an employee? And for sure, all these badass CEOs were like, that's one of my things. You take care of your people, you praise them, you reward them, you this, that, whatever, right? You respect them. They're all 10 out of 10, right? And then they go ask the employees, all those same people, like, you know, how often does your CEO tell you you're having a good job, this and that, on a scale of 1 to 10? And the average number was like a 6. So the moral of the story was, no matter how much we praise somebody or tell them they're doing a good job, it'll never be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember after reading that, I did something different and it changed my career for sure. This was one of those turning points for me also. Was okay. So at all times, I had a staff somewhere between 15 and 20 or so, 25, sometimes 30 employees. And, you know, that's a lot of people on a daily basis to try and manage. So to be effective like that, I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So I said, and my trainers didn't know this. They, to this day, they don't know this unless they're listening now. They'll want to find out. I used to set.
You used to put drugs in their water?
Yes.
No. Make everybody happy?
Man.
I used to set reminders.
I had ecstasy in mine.
I used to. So we'll take. Let's say, for example, you guys were all employees of mine. I had Sal, Justin, and Doug. They were working for me. And
I quit.
I'd have a reminder that would go off and it would be an alarm.
No way. He'd rub your shoulders. I'd set, he'd be right in.
Exactly right. Thanks, Justin, for getting my back on that one. My reminder would go off and it would vibrate. My phone would vibrate. I'd look down at it and say, you know, Sal, 2 p.m. And then I would know right then and there, no matter what I was doing, I would stop what I was doing. I'd go find Sal. And whatever Sal was doing, I would find something about what he was doing at that moment, whether he was training a client, whether he was working on paperwork, whether he was just having a good time bullshitting with somebody. But I would find something that he was doing at the moment to come over and compliment him about that. So if he was training a client, I would find something that he was doing well. And I'd put my hand on his shoulder and say, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I've seen all the work that you've been putting in with this lady. And it's a great job. It's very inspiring. And walk away. That's mm-hmm. it. That's all mm-hmm. I'd say. Take 2 seconds to do that. But I do that to all my staff. And when you start managing from that point where you start leading people like that, and like you said, praising them at mushroom, you don't actually ever have to pull somebody aside and tell them they're doing wrong, because they all want to do so well for mm-hmm. you that when they fuck up, they come to you. When they fuck up, they don't do something, they would come to me and be like, Adam, I'm so sorry. I fucked up on this. I should have done this and that. You know what I'm saying? And then we talk.
See, a lot of managers get the misinterpretation. They get the wrong on this particular belief, that they think that money is the number one main motivator of employees. Like, that's what's going to make them work.
All
yeah, that was the least.
But that's so wrong, because
which is crazy.
And it's funny, because I worked with someone a long time ago who had this debate with me, and she's like, no. People show up for their paycheck. That's why they work real hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, some of the hardest workers you will ever find in the whole world that put the most passion, blood, sweat, and tears are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
When people volunteer for a cause that they believe in, they will work harder than any paid employee you'll ever see in your life.
Absolutely.
So what does that mean? What does that teach us? It teaches us that if you have a staff that they need to believe in the cause. They're not just showing up to do a job. It's something bigger than them. It's about the team. It's about fitness. It's about promoting this wellness. It's about this camaraderie that we have, where we all work together to achieve this common goal. And when you get that, You're unstoppable. I used to have employees, no shit, I got in trouble for this. I would have employees show up on their days off all the time and say, and I try and send them home, and they'd say, no, I'm not going to clock in. I just want to come in and just want to help, and I just want to help you guys set up for the weekend, or all the time. And again, just like you said, Adam, example, corporate comes down and says, they can't do that. They either get paid or they can't do that. And I know they're trying to cover their ass, right, but you ruin this fucking amazing thing that we have.
Oh, this culture that you've built. You've built a culture around these people that everybody wants to do well and everybody wants to be recognized. Whether anyone admits it or not, just like you say, when you praise these employees, and you know, I know we're using fitness as an analogy. That's what most of us did for a majority of our career, but the parallels are in all business.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when your employee does something good. And you know, no one thinks about that if you praise so much, because then what happens is employees that also, let's say I haven't said anything to Justin in like 2 weeks. Like without anything being said, he's going like, man, Adam hasn't came over and told me what a great job. I'm like, what am I fucking doing? Then he starts analyzing his own work. Mm-hmm. I don't even get to point out what he's doing wrong or what he could be doing better. He's thinking about, fuck, what am I not doing? Because he hasn't said anything to me about what a great job I'm doing.
Why is Adam not rubbing me?
have you guys heard of the, like if you need to reprimand something, someone, or tell them that they did something wrong, you've heard about sandwiching it?
Yeah.
Before, have you heard of that?
Yeah.
So these are just small, basic things. It's funny, too, because I did a lot of this without realizing what it was called. And then I'd take these courses and they'd teach us that this is how you're supposed to do it. But, you know, if you're going to reprimand something, take them aside in private and make sure you start with something good and end with something good. You sandwich that shitty, what you're about to tell them, with good and good.
Their shit sandwich. Before you feed them a shit sandwich, make sure they
put some donut,
some good ass bread on it.
Put some donut.
I did that to my neighbor kid. Remember, I told that story.
What'd you do?
The shit brownie. Dog shit brownie. I was just trying to coach him.
Yeah.
I was just trying to better his life.
But you know, you bring him in the office, you're like, look, man, I know you're working your ass off and I appreciate all the work you're doing. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, when the guest didn't sign up, you forgot to have me come. You didn't have me come in a TO. We can't do that. Nobody can leave without getting a TO. That's a bad thing. But I know you're one of the best sales guys I have. It ain't going to happen again. And I actually want you to teach other people on how to TO better, because when you do it, you're awesome about it. And that's a good thing. And so they end and they're like, well, I just got, you know, I feel good.
Huh?
Yeah. You can't put it in without lube. You got to lube.
Yeah.
Then otherwise it's just hurts.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Adam knows what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Otherwise it hurts.
Sometimes it bleeds.
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump and leave us a good rating and review.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.